Because I live, ye shall live also. This was the verse that Ravi Zacharias said, herald him from a bed of suicide into being one of the most beloved apologists in the world. Today on the Parker J. Cole Show, this special edition, we pay honor and tribute to Ravi Zacharias, coming up next in just a few moments. Special edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You know, I didn't plan this yesterday morning when I woke up, but by today, I want to thank all of you who helped me bring this show together as a tribute to Ravi Zacharias. When I found out that Ravi Zacharias had passed away yesterday morning, I cried. I cried as if he was my uncle, and I had just found out that my uncle had passed away. He has such a huge impact in my life, even though he never knew who I was. I was blessed by his writings. I was blessed by his podcast, by his sermons I used to listen to on the way to church. I was blessed by his articles, the articles he wrote, everything that he did, I was blessed by. And so I wanted to use this opportunity to pay a tribute to Ravi Zacharias. And I wanted to invite you to also, for those of you who would like to also pay tribute to this wonderful man of God. And with me to help me is my good friend, Melissa Palou. Melissa, how are you doing today?
I am well down here in Rock Hill, South Carolina, in Metro Charlotte area. Thank you so much for having me on for such a special tribute.
You know, I remember when I saw you post your picture of you hugging Ravi Zacharias. And I remember getting jealous. I was really jealous, like, wow, she gets to have a hug from Ravi Zacharias. And I remember when I saw him at my church, because he usually doesn't come to churches. And he came to our church here in Detroit several years ago. And I was vibrating next to my husband. I was so excited to see him. And he was so dynamic. And it was so thrilling to see a man that you listen to on the radio in front of you live and in person. And he made a huge, I know you and I both were very much emotionally affected by his passing. And we know that he's with Nabil, and we know Nabil and him are probably having a good time now, you know. And with that, we just want to pay tribute to him and to his ministry and to his work. And so many of you I reached out to has so many wonderful things to say. So we're going to interspersing them throughout our conversation. So, but if you want to weigh in and call in, you can simply call in at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We'll be right back after these brief messages. Stay tuned.
Conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people of personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, PastorMike@cclohio.com. Again, that's PastorMike@cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Hi, and welcome to the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so excited you're here with me today as we do a special edition as a tribute to Ravi Zacharias. Like I mentioned on the other side of the break, Ravi Zacharias had a huge impact in my life, particularly when I got into apologetics. And when I got into apologetics, I devoured a lot of his books. And he very intelligently and sensitively answered questions about life, not simple questions, hard questions that always sometimes have a cliche answer to them, but he really delved into those questions. And I felt as if he were my uncle, even though he never knew who I was. And I wanted to use this opportunity to pay tribute to him. And with me to help me is Melissa Palou. Melissa, I want you to reintroduce yourself to people and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I'm of course, Melissa Palou, as Parker stated. She's been a good friend for many years as we've known each other through the apologetics world and community. And my husband and I, Devin, live in Rockville, South Carolina in Charlotte Metro area. We are community apologists and chapter directors with Ratio Christi Ministry, which is a campus apologetics ministry. We do campus apologetics at Winthrop University, York Technical College, as well as with youth in the York County, South Carolina area, and with professors as well in this area. So apologetics, evangelism is a part of our everyday lives. That is our calling and our mission that God has called us to. As far as Ravi, he played such a huge part in our lives initially because of the things that we're doing and how he did them so well in terms of reaching people. And so I feel super blessed to be a part of this because I feel it's very humbling actually to talk of one of your real life heroes and to share with others on a personal level what that person meant to you. But in a nutshell, that's who we are. We are, we have our own podcast as well called Theology Matters with the Palous that comes on every Friday afternoon. And so we love doing these sort of things in terms of sharing the truth of Christianity with others, and in any avenue that we can, we're there. So I'm thankful again to be on the show with you again. I think for maybe the third or fourth time now, Parker.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I don't like to have too much time pass before I reconnect. So I'm glad we're doing it now. One thing about when you do a tribute to someone, you know, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance that goes into it. And so, and it should, because especially if it was a king, you would do a pomp and circumstance. Mm-hmm. Was someone, a celebrity, you know, people go outside and, you know, pour wine bottles out or whatever. And this way, I wanted to use the pomp and circumstance of words because we are writers. And he, just like C.S. Lewis, found words to be a tool effective to reach people for the gospel. I remember how I first got involved in apologetics. It was years ago now, and I was in my 20s. So, gosh, I was in my 20s, and that's, you know, age gets to me, Melissa. And I was outside working at a drugstore. It was about 3:00 in the morning. I was on my way out to go home because I was working midnights. And this atheist guy came, and we got into a dialogue. And at the time, I did not have answers to the questions that he asked. But unlike some people, I knew those answers were there. I just had to go find them. And I ended up finding them in so many resources. That's how I got into the apologetics world. And I remember picking up Ravi Zacharias. I forgot how I found out about him, but I think I was at the bookstore and I saw this book called Jesus Among Other Gods. And when I saw that book, I said, oh, that's interesting, you know, and that just hits right up the alley, you know. And I started reading from there, and I really liked how, even though he was a highly intelligent person, he literally brought things down so where people like me can't understand what you're saying. And he was able to converse with people of a more, I guess you want to say, who can understand bigger words than I can, better too. So he was able to converse with the layman and the scholar. And that made it so interesting to be with someone who can do that. I would love for you to share your own experience of how you were introduced to Ravi Zacharias, whether through him personally or through his works.
Yeah, it was through radio. And it was through when I first got into apologetics, it was when I got saved in 2000, I had a heart to learn and to grow because I didn't know any. I was pretty much starting from square zero. Like, I wasn't raised in church and things like that. So I had a million questions. And so I remember running across, I remember that I was doing apologetics before I knew what it was, you know, before I knew that it was actually a discipline, a theological discipline. And so, but that was just from the beginning. And I was just trying to find any and everything that I could to help me in that journey. And I remember finding RZIM and just listening to Robbie's voice before I saw him, like any picture of him or visual of him, just listening for months and months. And just feeling so, not only growing in knowledge, but just feeling so connected to the faith as a new believer through listening to him and feeling connected to him as well and to the ministry. And so that started my kind of journey with RZIM and with Ravi. And so from there, I was just looking for books and I listened religiously and recorded shows. And this was like back in the day when we didn't have a whole all of the technology, podcasts, and things that we do now in 2020. Mm-hmm. But it was such a it really just fed my hunger and desire to know more. And like you said, I think it was one of those. I didn't know all the answers, you know, as a new believer, but I knew it was reassuring to know that there were answers. And so that really started me on a lifelong journey. And I didn't know, you know, here 15 years later that I'd be doing full-time apologetics ministry. You know, God has a way of weaving those things together. But over the years, his books, resources, hearing him live quite a few times, each time just feeling just so drawn in and connected. And that one picture that you had that I shared that you saw was in 2009, actually. Devin and I were taking classes at Southern Evangelical Seminary at the time, and he had an exam that night, and I didn't, and I was able to go, and he was kind of jealous, actually, that I got to hear Robbie. And it was a small North Carolina town that he was speaking, and he and Stuart McAllister were both there. And they spoke on hedonism, and you know, hedonism is basically the pursuit of pleasure and believing that pleasure is the highest good, and that, you know, leads to all kinds of problems, of course. And he discussed that so eloquently, and I got the nerve up to ask a question, and I felt like, oh my goodness, I've seen this on, you know, heard this on the radio, and I've seen him answer questions. Now I'm finally asking him a question. And when I asked him the question, he spoke so directly to me, but to the whole audience at the same time. And it was so neat. It was so neat. And it was so powerful. Something that I'll never, ever, ever forget. In terms of that encounter with him. So, but yeah, and meeting him, taking pictures with him in the different occasions that I have been able to meet him and talk and, just briefly, obviously, not on a deep personal level, but just, you know, in line after events. He just always so humble, always so appreciative, always so encouraged. You knew that he talked to so many people and he met so many people, but you very much felt very special in that moment with him. And I appreciate that about him because that is not always the case with people who have such notoriety as himself.
I want to share two stories now that we received from people who also wanted to add their tribute to Ravi Zacharias. The first is from Pastor Christopher Weeks of Kent City Baptist Church. And Pastor Weeks said, I actually met Ravi when I was 23 and had dinner with my pastor and him. During that dinner, a Muslim friend came with me named Muhammad, who was also 23. And instead of trying to argue and debate Christianity with my friend, Ravi was simply kind. I didn't even know who Ravi was at the time. I didn't know he was one of the greatest apologists of our generation. All I knew is that he listened to my friend and was kind. Later, I found out who he was and followed him for the last 30 years, and his sermons have changed my life. I praise God for Ravi. Pastor Weeks, thank you for your tribute to Ravi Zacharias. Mm-hmm. And then we have Nathan Khanna, who's an author, food and travel blogger, and apologist from Alive Apologetics. Nathan says, I remember when Ravi was in Mumbai, India, during question and answer session, I said, I share your son's name, Nathan, and my question is, he smiled before he responded. I was starstruck, to be honest, when I met him in person. There are lots of Bollywood as well as Hollywood celebrities who attended the event, and once the event was over, people started rushing towards celebrities to take a photo. However, I, a Ravi fanboy carrying his book, The End of Reason, was waiting in a queue to meet my hero. Once I met him, he was humble enough to speak with me and sign my book. He told me, good to hear about Alive Apologetics. We need more of you. Keep doing what you are doing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something I will always cherish as a sweet memory, a brilliant, productive time spent with Ravi. Ravi has inspired me in so many ways. First and foremost, the words he used in a general speech were so tough, they forced me to open up a dictionary, and I ended up learning so many new words. He wasn't just technical, but also very humble. He used to empathize with the questioner and would go on an extra mile to spend some time post the event to ensure not to lose a chance of winning another soul for Christ. I will always remember his commonly used term in most of his question and answer sessions. For example, Muddites for anti-Muddites. Rest in peace, Ravi. I know you are already resting in one of the many mansions of our Creator. Yours must be extra special. Nathan, thank you so much for your tribute to Ravi Zacharias. And their stories mirror the story that you have. And they don't know you. You don't know these people. But to have that same type of interaction lets you know that the man did carry a spirit of humbleness with him. And I think that's important. Because if we're going to be in a place of influence, like Zacharias was, we have to make sure that we remain humble. Nothing quite like meeting somebody that you really adore, and then all of a sudden you meet them, you go, ick. Like, you are not what I thought you were. So go ahead, let's just speak some more to the humble spirit that Ravi Zacharias and his team, I don't want to leave out his team and his wife and children, you know, they all have that humble spirit about them.
Right, and his whole team, that is one of the things that you will notice when they're speaking, when they're interacting with others, whether it's on a podcast or a talk show type of situation or conference or question and answer, you just see that same humility and that same approach. And so I know that that's something that he has driven into them and that he purposely has surrounded himself with that kind of team that has that same humble spirit. And I think, you know, he talked a lot about, you know, because we, as we know, those question and answer sessions are probably our favorites, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Just to see how he, just on the fly, you know, answers questions. I find myself with question and answer at times having difficulty. It's like sometimes I know what I want to say. And it's just with the person that you're talking with or answering, or in the audience that you have as well, how to answer in the most effective way. So it's not necessarily even about the information, but he had a great way of doing that because he didn't separate the question from the questioner. And so that was something that he talked about a lot. And so we understand that when people ask questions, that they come from usually a deep existential place in them, that there's an answer that they're seeking. And so when you try to not only answer the question, but in a way that reaches deep down to that place that the question is coming from, it just makes it that much more profound. And it's not just information. It becomes transformational even, you know. If I can tell a quick story.
Please.
Michael Ramsden. Yeah, Michael Ramsden, and this isn't a Robbie story, but it's a Michael Ramsden story, who's president of RZIM and very close to Robbie, and you know, Robbie's trained and mentored over all these years. But Michael Ramsden tells the story of how he went to get a haircut, and the lady who was cutting his hair, she just happened to open up to him about all these questions that she had, not really knowing who he was, but just these deep questions about purpose and meaning and these sort of things with him. And in that time when she was cutting his hair, he was answering her questions. And she was just so blown away. Like, she was so excited, and so she received it. And he was talking to her about Christianity and all of these things, and she just received it well. He went back to see her a few weeks later for another haircut, and also to have a follow-up conversation with her. And she had told him, you know, I haven't stopped thinking about these things that you were sharing with me. And, you know, I went home that day when you came before, and I talked to my husband, and I shared with him all of these things that you were sharing with me. And, you know, he didn't even care, you know. It just seemed like it was nothing to him. And so she's on one hand so excited, her husband he's indifferent, doesn't care. You know, and he talked about how, Michael talked about just even from that conversation, from that situation drawing away, that people are at different places, right? So she was at a place where she was ready for that, and she was open to that, and she received it excitedly. And so the questions that she had, she was asking the questions that were coming from a deep place in her heart. Her husband was not at that place where he was asking those questions yet, so those answers didn't mean much to him. So it was just a neat illustration of not separating the questioner from the question, because those things really matter in terms of evangelism. It's something that we model on the college campus. You have to. You can't just answer questions and walk away. you want to plant a gospel seed.
Another thing that he was really good at when he answered questions was he had a way of getting through some of the noise that may come with a question and getting to the heart of it. Mm-hmm. And this is mirrored in minister and author D. Johnson's tribute and quote to Robbie, where he says, "Robbie had a way of cutting through the rhetoric and clarifying the heart of objections to Christ and Christianity. We have lost a true apologetics champion." David, thank you so much for adding your voice to the conversation. And another philosopher, his name is Sean Choi, says, "I always appreciated that Robbie took the person behind the question as seriously as their question. He addressed the whole person. His apologetic wasn't just geared towards the head, but also the heart and emotions." And I like how both of these gentlemen, they don't know each other. I know them, but they don't know each other, have said the same thing that you just mentioned. And I think this is important as we begin to talk about the legacy that Robbie Zacharias began and has left behind. And of course, we're sad to see him gone. Of course we are, because so many of us, if we had a question about something, just something outlandish, you know, and you go, "Oh, he already answered that." And so we can go to his website, we can go to the podcast, we go to his articles and his books and go, "Hey, boom, there it is." And I think just knowing that you can go to someone who has those resources is asset in and of itself, particularly those of us who sometimes struggle with our faith. That's okay, especially right now during this pandemic. Some of us are having time struggling with our faith while we're in a sea of uncertainty. And to be able to have that asset is one that I think all of us can appreciate with Robbie Zacharias, those of us who were really in tune to what he was doing. And so for those of you listening, this is a special edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm talking together with Melissa Palou. She is an apologist and has been a good friend for several years now, many years now, I should say. And she's helping me to really give tribute to Robbie Zacharias. And we are also reading your comments and quotes that you sent in as your tribute to this great apologist. You're also welcome to call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Losing sales due to incorrect algorithm influence categorization? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Christian, faith-based books in a variety of subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Become a content contributor and receive early notification of when you can start uploading your content. Go to twotigersllc.com and sign up today. Readio, the app for great Christian books. Follow us on social media at twotigersllc.
Sofa Talk podcast will consider Spurgeon's morning and evening devotionals, which deal with all of the things that we are fearful and anxious of, like job, family, and our country. Plus, we will take your prayer requests. Join us on upcoming episodes Monday through Friday for Sofa Talk at anchor.fm/russell-sherard. That's anchor.fm/russell-sherard.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here with me for the special edition as we give tribute to Ravi Zacharias. He was an apologist, preacher, and a dynamic personality within the faith, and without question, he will be missed. With me to help with the conversation is Melissa Palou. She is also an apologist as well as a podcaster, and she is helping me really just detail one of the reasons why we wanted to give tribute to this wonderful man of God. And Melissa, thank you for being with us today as we continue our tribute to Ravi Zacharias. I want to read a couple that we received. We got a quote. Dr.
Okay.
Cal Beisner, founder and national spokesman of the Cornwall Alliance. And Dr. Beisner says, few people in church history have had an impact on so many lives as Ravi. His apologetic approach was brilliant, gracious, winsome, and always focused on the amazing news that a sinner like him and me for that instance too, could be reconciled to God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, whose death atoned for sin and whose resurrection confirmed the perfect efficacy of that atonement. His homegoing is a loss to his beloved family, friends, and the church at large. But because for him to live was Christ, to die was to gain. And thank you, Dr. Beisner, for that wonderful quote. Professor Tim McGrew at Western Michigan University says, one of the things I admire about Ravi Zacharias is his ability to hear the question behind the question, to understand not just what someone is saying, but why. Ravi's responses, always delivered with gentleness and grace, reach both the mind and the heart. He is a model for any aspiring apologist who hopes to win more than just arguments, a reminder that the followers of Jesus are called to be more than victorious debaters. We are called to be fishers of men. And I want to thank Professor McGrew for that quote as well. And I have to share a story, Melissa, one of my favorite stories that Ravi Zacharias did. I forgot what he was talking about, but it mentions how just his winsome and his humor that he always included in a lot of his messages. And he was talking about when they brought the coin to Jesus, when they asked him, should you pay taxes to Caesar? That's what it was. And, you know, Jesus said, he said, tell me the truth. And the way he said it, you're expecting this really huge, profound note. And he goes, tell me the truth. Don't you wish Jesus had said no? when he talked about taxes, right? Don't you wish he had said no? He said, because a bunch of us wouldn't pay taxes today. We would say, if Jesus didn't pay taxes, I ain't paying taxes, you know. But Jesus, I mean, but Rabbi Zacharias, he made everyone laugh with that. Then he said how the Lord said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and render to God the things that are God. And I thought about that a lot because taxes is coming up because it got extended to June. And I did my taxes, just haven't sent them in because I have to do them again because I know I did something wrong. So I'm sitting there like, and as I was doing taxes, I always think about that. When he said, they said, don't you wish Jesus had said no? You know, just no, you can't pay taxes. And a bunch of us would probably start war over it. You know, like, I'm not paying taxes. But he had just a wonderful way of delving deep truths with humor. And I love some of the things that he said. And I know you were also blessed by some of his sermons and his works when he added that element of humor. You know, recently, Melissa, I did a show talking about God's sense of humor and how it's underrated in our Christian life. And the fact that God has humor lets you know he has humor because we have humor. It's a communicable attribute. And you sit there kind of like, you know, there's a joke here. There's a joke here, and it's hanging over my head. Go ahead. Let's talk about how his message delivery, when he wasn't always so serious that you were always, you know, in a moment of seriousness, but he can break the tension in a room just like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of, I mean, he really, he was asked some very hard questions at times, you know, some very deep, serious questions that could have gone a very divisive way. But he just had a way of, you know, like you said, cutting tension. He would ask questions of the questioner. He would, you know, things that common ground, things like that, that would make the intellectual pursuit seem less tedious. And he had the ability to cut through those tense moments and those in that way. And when you're sharing even that story, his storytelling ability, I think we've lost a lot of that as well. And that was something that he utilized because of his different experiences and as much as he'd read, he was able to share stories and also just relate them to real life situations. And I find myself at times using that tool as much as possible. Jesus did it all the time, right? And so I think that was one of the powerful parts of Robbie's ministry was hearing his storytelling and how these deep truths, him weaving these deep truths or bringing out these deep truths from stories. So it's encouraged me to slow down quite a bit, you know, and in life to take these experiences in. Take in conversations well, so that I can not just only make observations for myself, but maybe it's something that someone else needs to hear at some point in my, you know, in my encounters, and in evangelism or in just encouraging someone, for instance, not just in an intellectual atmosphere, but it can even in an intellectual atmosphere obviously come. Be very fruitful in terms of communicating these deep truths.
Another quote I want to read is from Dr. Holly Ordway, Fellow of Faith and Culture at the Word on Fire Institute. And Dr. Ordway says, Rabbi Zacharias made a huge positive impact on people's lives and contributed greatly to a more well-rounded cultural approach to apologetics. My condolences to his family, friends, and colleagues. Thank you, Dr. Ordway, for adding to the conversation. And then Keith A. Robinson, an apologist, author, and founder of the Apologetics Fiction website, says this, I was one of Robbie's pupils, even though I never had a chance to meet him. I look forward to the day when I can tell him face-to-face how much his teachings impacted my life and my own calling. In particular, much of the information I included in my series, TARDIS Chronicle series, was gleaned from the wisdom and insight of this amazing man. The world would miss him. Enjoy your well-earned reward, Mr. Zacharias. Keith, thank you so much for weighing in. And I always joke with Keith, and I'll say it wherever I go. I call Keith the Godfather of apologetics fiction because he was writing apologetics fiction after C.S. Lewis, you know. And so I always call him the Godfather. And,
some great quotes from some great people, like some really
gracious,
some really influential people. Yeah, very gracious to offer their time and thought.
I'm so thankful because they didn't have to. And I just reached out and asked, you know, and I think that's the thing about when you ask questions. If you don't ask the questions, you can't get the answers. And the fact that I remember my pastor, when he announced that Ravi Zacharias was coming to our church, I literally almost jumped out the seat because I couldn't believe it. But he said, you have to understand, he doesn't usually come to churches, but he did so. He was very gracious to do so because he wanted to be, I think, in an environment of questions, because people have questions they think that can't be answered. And, you know, like you said, sometimes, especially during the question and answer sessions, and he would, I mean, to be honest, sometimes he would rip some of these people apart, and not rip in a bad way, but you kind of go like, oh, wow, that was brilliant. You know, I would think, I would start spluttering and, you know, spit start coming out my mouth and like, I don't know what to say, you know, start shaking because I don't think that hard. But he would do it so effortless. And I think that's a lost art. But like a lot of the comments are saying, like you said, he did not divorce the question from the questioner because they're intertwined with each other. And so I really appreciated his storytelling, just as a storyteller myself, a storyteller. And then before I let you comment on that, I wanted to read one more comment from an author friend, Jeremy Bullard. He said, when I read the news, my first reaction was solemn acceptance. It's been coming for a few months now, but then I got to thinking about his welcoming party. And I have to admit, I got a little giddy. Granted, it was a bittersweet giddy, but giddy all the same. First and foremost, his faith was finally made sight, having finally met his Lord and Savior face to face. That, of course, would have been worth all of it. But following that, consider those that he finally got the opportunity to meet or be reunited with. His father and mother, of course, as well as his father-in-law. He finally got to meet his forerunners, G.A. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis, as well as his literary influence, Malcolm Muggeridge, and even his grandmother, whose tombstone, unbeknownst to him, wore the verse that shaped his recovery from a suicide attempt. And he reads John 14, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. I'm sad that he has gone on without us, but I cannot be sad that he has entered into the joy of his Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, #. Thank you, Robbie. And it's funny because so many of us know his story because he was very open and transparent about his a lot of his life. We know about his wife. We know about his kids. We knew about when certain things happened to him. And he just helped present that familial sense of continuity and unity within the family of faith, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Even his journey to Christ, this, you know, kind of growing up and not really knowing who he was or who whose he was, and then finding himself as, you know, a young man in the hospital after a failed suicide attempt, and then being handed a Bible, finding the verse in John 14, because I live, you will also live, from Jesus, and that whole, his whole conversion there, and coming to faith, and from there on just vowing to the Lord that he would just pursue him and pursue truth. Many of us resonate with that because of our testimonies and because of our journeys haven't been the easiest, obviously. And so coming from that, from actually desiring for life to end and trying to bring that on to becoming one who's spoken in, I think they said, over 70 countries. The RZIM, the team, I think it's 16 countries, many countries now, and all that he's doing, all that he did through the radio broadcast and speaking and writing, and just that resonates with so many of us that, okay, God used his life in such a way that, you know, when he started out, from where he started out to where he finished his race, it's an encouragement for all of us to run the race well from start to finish, and not to take anything for granted, and just to always speak the truth in love. But yeah, it's just very. I think it just resonates with so many of us that he came so far, and that you can only attribute that to God's grace.
One thing he was good at, like we've mentioned, was doing things for the kingdom and reaching the mm-hmm. world, because the world needs to know that. And we got a quote from John Edward Folger, author and chief content officer of Trans World Radio. And John says, Ravi was a great commission man. He has so much global impact for Christ. We need to pick up the mantle and continue to proclaim Christ to the world, each one of us. And John, thank you for adding to the conversation. You were saying something, Melissa, that triggered a memory of one of the stories that Ravi Zacharias shared. I believe it was him. If I have it wrong, I'm so sorry. But one of the stories that he shared, and I cannot remember the man he was talking about, but it was a man who had been horribly disfigured by warts, I think. He was horribly disfigured. And so people used to get scared of him, and so he would hide his face. And then this woman fell in love with him because he was highly intelligent. And so he wanted to eventually marry her, but he wanted to go be a missionary to another country. Can't remember the country. And she was like, I don't want to leave my home. And he, you know, basically, she said, I want to marry you and be your wife, but I can't leave home. And he wanted her to come, but they had to make the decision. And so he chose the mission God called him for, as opposed to staying married to this woman. And he ended up being tortured and beat by the people there, but he translated the Bible in several languages in that country. This man did. And Ravi always had that wider view and focus on, you know, of course, if mind you, you meet a woman who loves you, even though you may look like the crypt keeper, you know. I think about I'm being funny when I say that, but I think about my brother's gonna shoot me if he ever hears this. I think about my brother, and you know, he got married recently, and we joked with his wife, like, you do know you didn't have to marry him, right? You do know that. And but you know, be someone that you love, but then to have to give that up for the gospel, and then to find out that your giving up for the gospel led to someone's salvation at personal cost to you. And I know for him, he traveled all over the world, and he was put in dangerous situations. He talked about when he was in Vietnam and how he had to run. And then he talked about how his daughter was working with the sex trafficking organizations to stop the sex trafficking, and how it was kind of funny. He was like, why do you go to dangerous situations and places, and why do you put yourself in danger? She said, you what did you used to tell us, Dad? And he said, and she was like, now it's your turn, you know? And so, and I remember everyone kind of laughed about that, because he was like, she goes to these dangerous situations like he didn't, you know, like he didn't go there. But he knew the cost was to, as much as you possibly can, you know, reach the world for Christ. I mean, people in places who have never heard the gospel, and if you can get there, you know, it may be 15 minutes and that's it. That there's your chance, that 15-minute window, you know. And so that's one of the things I appreciated by RZIM and all those people who are a part of that organization. What were you going to add to that?
I think people don't realize also that RZIM offers humanitarian aid and efforts and things like that. So when you were talking about his daughter in these dangerous situations, that made me think of that. That, you know, the organization has been crucial in helping alleviate human suffering around the world as well. And as through as a result, has been able to share and spread the gospel, and to offer, you know, discipleship and these sort of all kinds of tools as well in their relief efforts.
Exactly. And I think as we continue to talk about Ravi Zacharias, and you're more than welcome to call in and weigh in on our discussion, I think for those of you who may not know who he was, because some people didn't, to know that he did leave a legacy that I think a lot of us can appreciate. And so if you want to know more about his organization, go to rzim.org. You can find out more about what they're doing, their podcasts, books, resources. Go on amazon.com, because I know a lot of his books are trending right now. When you put in, all you got to put in is R-A-V, and he starts to come up because people are just reacting to his death. Now they want to get his books. And so I hope that helps someone else who may be having questions about faith to find the answers in his writings. I know they helped me out, and I know they'll help you out. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, more comments and quotes from those who want to send in their tribute to Ravi Zacharias and your opportunity as well. All you have to do is call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, questions or comments. We'll be right back after these brief messages. Stay tuned.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the special edition of the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. This is a tribute to a man of God that I admired for many years, Ravi Zacharias. And with me to help me is Melissa Palou. She's an apologist, and she's been helping us just really unpack the depth and character and legacy of Ravi Zacharias and what he's left behind. Both of us were extremely emotional yesterday when we found out that Ravi Zacharias had passed away. And with that, because of the fact that he resonated with so many people, whether you were a pastor, a lay person, whether you were a scholar or just beginning your journey into the intellectual side of apologetics, he was able to relate to you. And I wanted to read a couple more quotes we received. We got a quote from Letitia Wong. She's an apologist and pro-life advocate. And Letitia says, "I am merely a face in the crowd of Ravi's many students in the faith. I loved his style and thoughtfulness, and how he spoke with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I discovered his books and public addresses in the mid-1990s, and by then he was already a powerful influence. May I surrender to Christ in the ways I saw in his life and more. I thank God that he raised a brother in the Lord as a great influence in the body. I will miss him greatly in this life and long to know him in the next. My deepest sympathies and condolences for his family and closest friend. We all love him deeply. Our hope is in Christ, in whose presence Ravi is glorified this day and for eternity." Letitia, thank you so much for weighing in on the conversation. D.G., who is a supporter of PJC Media, says, "Two of my favorite Ravi quotes. In certain strands of evangelicalism, we sometimes think it is necessary to so humiliate someone of a different worldview that we think unless we destroy everything he holds valuable, we cannot preach to him the gospel of Christ. What I am saying is this: when you are trying to reach someone, please be sensitive to what he holds valuable." And the other quote she mentioned is, "Love is a commitment that will be tested in the most vulnerable areas of spirituality, a commitment that will force you to make some very difficult choices." Indeed, Jean, thank you so much for weighing in on the conversation. And then I want to read just two more. We got more than just two, obviously. I do want to read from two pastors. We got pastor and author Danielle Scroggins. And Pastor Scroggins says, Apologist Ravi Zacharias forever changed the way I viewed a question. I love the way he would say, "I'm not an intellectual. I just ask a lot of questions myself." He made me ask the questions concerning my faith and to learn when questions are asked of me that I am to do two things: open up the person with whom I speak within their own assumptions, and to determine an entry point of the discussion. It's what Jesus did, and it's what Dr. Zacharias taught. Pastor Scroggins, thank you for your comment. And then Pastor Tira McNear, Senior Pastor at Fountain of Life Global Christian Ministry, says, "Ravi Zacharias is an international treasure whose ministry will always be a template for pastors and leaders. He intentionally duplicated himself whenever he went and simultaneously allowed those he equipped and raised up to chart their own course. His legacy will forever be that the measure of one's success will be in the quantity and quality of the successors you leave behind. I believe he pressed and hit that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I pray the Lord will love up on and comfort his immediate family and take his ministry to even greater heights in Jesus' name." Thank you, Pastor McNear, Pastor Scroggins, for your comments. When you hear things like that, what are some thoughts that go through your mind?
You know, there's just, again, the consistency of the testimonies of the effect that he's had on us, all of us. It just shows you a consistency in his ministry and in his life. To those who have met him personally, to those who have never met him, to all of us who have been learning from him over the years, this message of love, pursuit of truth, love for the mind, love for the heart, love for people, encouraging questions, all of these things, bridging together people and their questions. Now, I was thinking also, even as the different quotes and those writing the quotes are, you know, expressing their prayers for the family, I've been thinking about his family quite a bit, not knowing them personally, but knowing that they've had to make sacrifices. Margie has had to make sacrifices over the years as children. We're talking about someone who's spoken in 70 countries throughout his ministry. We're talking about the major conferences and the little conferences. You know, we're talking about World Youth Summits and all sorts of events that we don't know that he participated in. And everything from the Passion Conferences with the one of the largest youth or young adult conferences in the country in Atlanta, Passion, that he's spoken at, to the National Conference on Christian Apologetics here in the Charlotte area that he's spoken at, and just their sacrifice of understanding his calling and that God was using him in so many ways to touch so many people, and being basically flexible and trusting the Lord and his plan. So they are is just as much heroes as he for sharing her husband and his children, for sharing their dad with the rest of us. And
exactly.
I'm so grateful for them.
It is hard, particularly when you're in that situation. It's not just for Ravi Zacharias, for anyone who's in ministry or anyone doing something, the fact that you do have to share that. But then I think he talked about Margie all the time, because I think he recognized, I mean, he didn't tell me anything, I'm just going with what I heard, but I think he recognized just how much he needed her, even though there were so many over the world who needed to hear the words that he gave. And again, not just Ravi Zacharias, but all apologists, whether you're a lay apologist in your community, whether you're a blogger who does apologetics, whether you're by yourself and you have that one person that is your backbone. And then for children, especially when you're a child of someone who's in the prominent light, and this goes for not just, you know, in this case, you know, we're talking about Ravi Zacharias, or even people who are like, I think of like Billy Graham, I think of, you know, Francis Chan, he came to our church one time, and I met Dr. Geiser one time, you know, these are, their kids have to be, they have to share, you know, and that's, they're heroes too, because they were willing to share that and to try to hopefully keep that familial bond there, because you have so many people calling and crawling at you our answer. So, yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that. So you also want to thank the family for allowing all of us to benefit from Ravi Zacharias' ministry. We want to thank you. I don't know if they'll ever hear this message, but let's I hope they do. But we want to thank them.
But we
for,
love them too.
We do. You do. And particularly, like I said, you know, some of the people we're talking about, some of our commenters knew about his family because he was open about that, you know, about his children and his life. Of course, not everything, because some things have to remain private. I mean, you got to have some things you got to close the door on, you know, but I was just thinking that. Then I want to read a couple more comments, because like I said, he reached both the scholar and the layperson. And we got a comment from Elaine Carter Coward. She's a natural health researcher, author, and speaker. And she said, I had only recently found Ravi Zacharias. His teachings were so very uplifting and confirming. God is calling many of his servants home. He will be missed, but is in the presence of Jesus. So glad we have video today to be able to see his to only reading them. Elaine, thank you so much for weighing in. And then Randy from Michigan says, he was an amazing teacher and speaker. He explained the word of God with knowledge and easy to understand. And then our final but not least comment is from R.D. Palmer. He's an author. And R.D. says, Ravi, you know, he's doing back and forth. He said, Ravi, we have a right to believe whatever we want, but not everything we believe is right. And R.D. says, as he coincides with that, he says, there is a difference between truth and belief. People can believe anything, including crazy things. But the truth, I am the way, truth, and life, is beyond belief. Asking questions doesn't weaken our faith. It strengthens our faith. God's creation shows how magnificent God is and how much he loved each of us. Then he says, Ravi, unless I understand the cross, I cannot understand why my commitment to what is right must be precedent over what I prefer. And then R.D. says, many people wonder what is right in the era of relativism. However, look to Christ, his life and teachings. That is what is right. And R.D., thank you for weighing in as well on this tribute to Ravi Zacharias. And I know for a lot of people, we may have come to those conclusions, but to see it personified in someone who had that much influence within Christendom, like Ravi Zacharias, is amazing. Dee Jean shared an article on her Facebook, and I'm going to let you speak, Melissa. It says, just the title says, from the Washington Times says, Ravi Zacharias may be the greatest Christian expositor of the 21st century. And you got to think, for Ravi Zacharias, if he were to look down, I doubt he's even concerned about what's going on right now. But let's say he took a quick glance down here and he saw that. He would probably be amazed that here he was on a bed of suicide when he was 17 and to now to be recognized by some as a great Christian expositor. Only God do something like that. And I've said this on the show before. I said, it is a miracle that God could take something horrible and turn it into good. Like, how do you take bad and turn it into good? We wouldn't know what to do with it. We see a broken egg, and it's broken. Right. But God's opportunity. And I think that's amazing. You know, so what, as we get ready to close, because we're at the end of our show today, but as we get ready to close, what are some of your thoughts as we end this tribute to Ravi Zacharias?
Man, it's just, again, I think the consistency of even of the comment from everyone, from the layperson to you know, a fellow apologist out there, it's just amazing that the message that Ravi gave, it touched all of us similarly across all these various spectrums. When I look at RZIM, this legacy, you know, he didn't just teach and write and speak, but he built this organization, of course, with a lot of help. But this organization, RZIM, you know, headquarters, they have offices in, you know, South Africa and in the Middle East and in Europe, all of these different places, in India. And so you have all of these ministries of RZIM working in their different subcultures to share the truth with the same model that RZIM and that Ravi stood for. Again, all these things we're talking about, answering the question within the question, bringing the question and the questioner together and answering questions on an existential deeper level that is satisfying to the heart and to the mind. So in all these different cultures, that's happening because of his influence. In all these different cultures, you have women apologists that are part of the RZIM team, the speaking team that Ravi elevated and showed the importance of having women voices in the apologetics movement. And he affirmed their role and their place in this, in answering these questions and in the pursuit of truth and knowledge and defending the truth of Christianity. So you just have this across the board, his method, his heart, his knowledge, his love for Christ, all these things combined, and it's going forth. It's not going to the grave with him. You know, it's going on through the work of RZIM, which will continue. I don't even doubt until the Lord returns. And we need to be praying diligently for RZIM and with the loss of Ravi, that they would continue strong, despite any challenges that may come up, and just through all of us who he's affected, that this what he started in our generation, that it will continue. So I'm just thankful that he didn't just keep everything to himself, that he shared and he spread himself out to all of us. And I just am just so blessed to be a part of this generation and to have been influenced by him in such a way, and as I know that all of your listeners are, and as all the comments shared have spoken volumes of.
One thing as I was listening to what you were saying, I have to talk about how he really affirmed women apologists. And you may say, well, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. There was a time when it did matter. And the mm-hmm. fact that even when he looked at some of his earlier things, he never had like this distinction between there. There's a time when people say, oh, it's just men. And women in general, just like men bring a certain context to different mm-hmm. things, women bring a certain context to things. I was listening to one young lady, her name is Lisa Gunther, and she said, you know, women mm-hmm. can reach women in a different way. Men can't, you know, and to mm-hmm. have that accessibility to that mm-hmm. was something Ravi also understood. Like his daughter, she's the CEO of RZIM, you know, mm-hmm. and yeah. you're sitting there and you see this elevation of women. And I said, the only reason why he can do that was because the one who he followed, Jesus Christ, elevated women. And so yes, you're sitting there like, mm-hmm. I mean, during the first century, if you're a woman, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I mean, if I can say it in this way, sucks to be you, right? You know, so but now Jesus elevated the women, and so he's only doing what he followed in the same way. So Melissa, I'm glad. Go ahead, please.
Just to add to that really quickly, I know we're wrapping up, but you know, when we talk about apologetics, many times it is perceived as a white male dominated field. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, because the truth is the truth regardless of who's speaking it. But then you mm-hmm. see, like Ravi, for instance, he's Eastern Indian, you know, and you see this man have such a profound effect in actually bringing together East and West and women and all these different cultures and socioeconomic backgrounds and bringing, you know, like you said, offices in South Africa and Middle East and all over the place. And so that changes the perception that it encourages all to think, you know, all to be better thinkers and better listeners and better apologists and better students of the word and better students of philosophy and things like that. So it's encouraging the world, I think, that you have this very diverse team at RZIM that they can be bound together in the gospel, and that we can as well as brothers and sisters. And Parker, I know you and I both are African American women. And so, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the apologetics world, probably a bit of an anomaly, but I'm mm-hmm. so excited to see that's changing. I'm excited to see that growing, that demographic. And again, I thank the Lord for people like Robbie who have that vision to be inclusive and to open doors that may have previously been shut. So that is a huge part of his legacy as well.
It's interesting, too, because when he talked one time, and somebody said the only reason why I came to see this man was because he was Indian. I mean, that's what he said. He was preaching one day. He was like, I only came because the guy was Indian. Uh-huh. And a lot of people do that, too. It's like, so he was, I only came because there was going to be X group, whatever you want to make it, you know, X ethnic group here, you know. And there are some people who he was able to reach because of his ethnicity, you know. And I liked his book, Walking East to West. I liked his book, too, because he came from both. He understood both cultures in a very unique way. And that helped out, you know. And I know for me and you, for me, us being African-Americans, particularly because of certain things that we both have in common, people may say, well, quote unquote, you're not black enough, or quote unquote, you're too this, or whatever. And so you kind of go like, thank God my identity is in Christ and not in you and what you say and what you do. And I think just having that understanding is what helps too. That's why apologetics is not limited to quote unquote the white male, even though, like you said, it doesn't matter who's telling the truth. I mean, you know, if the truth is the truth, it doesn't matter who's telling it. But I understand people do want to see other people who look like them too, and that's what RZIM has, a very diverse staff. They have very diverse staff, and I think that helps in their works. Now, just letting our listeners know, I was reading the press release from RZIM, and they said if you wanted to send flowers, don't send flowers or anything. They'd rather you send donations to RZIM to continue the work of what they're trying to do. And right now, in the world of COVID and the pandemic, in a post-truth society, you have to make truths. And I forgot his name. He came to our church. I think his name is Ahmed Abu Murray. I can't think of his name, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's like 7 feet tall. He is 7 feet tall, like the tallest man I've ever seen. And he came to our church, and he said, in this post-truth society where people don't even care if it's true, they just don't want to hear it, you have to make the truth beautiful again. And if you want to help with an organization that's trying to make the truth beautiful again so that people want to adhere to it, then consider prayerfully supporting RZIM. I know for sure if you can, even can't do it monthly or whatever, as much as you can, you know, pray for the organization and pray for all of us, not just, you know, but pray for all of us. And Melissa, thank you for taking time being with me today on the show to help me with this tribute to Ravi Zacharias. Literally, I have to tell our listeners, literally, I was like, hey, why don't you drop everything in your life and come into my show tomorrow? And I put a quote, she said half jokingly, you know, and Melissa said, sure, you know. And so, Melissa, thank you for helping me with the show to give this tribute to Ravi Zacharias. And thank you for what you do in the world of apologetics as well as the pro-life movement and advocacy. You know, it's been a wonderful relationship we've had over the years, and hopefully God bless you, will continue to deepen. So thank you so much for being with me today.
God bless you.
Those of you, I want to thank you for joining me for this special edition of the Parker J. Cole Show as we gave tribute to a wonderful man of God and apologist, Ravi Zacharias. If you want to know more about Ravi Zacharias, simply go to rzim.org. You can find out all you can. They have resources available for the big questions of life. You can listen to podcasts and past sermons of RZIM, and just prayerfully consider praying for the organization as they continue with the loss of Ravi Zacharias. No, for me, Ravi Zacharias, even though he never knew my name, he made a big impact in my life, and I want to thank him for everything that he did. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the show. You have a wonderful, blessed day, and God bless.